Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show from Westwood One's Radio Row, San Antonio, for the Final Four. And now joining us, just retired from Florida State after a legendary run. And he, of course, is Leonard Hamilton here with us. Coach, first and foremost, congratulations and thanks for stopping on by.
Well, thanks, Zach. Thank you guys for having me.
So now that you're away from the game, you know, what has it been like just the last few weeks processing how this has finally come to a close?
Well, I haven't quite gotten away from the game yet. You know, it's still a little early. We're still doing some what you call cleanup.
Okay.
You know, obviously when you have youngsters that you've dealt with over the years, not only the ones that you presently deal with, but the ones before, you know, they all need guidance. You got those relationships where they're trying to make changes in their life. And they all want to talk to you about the decisions that they make. So I'm not real sure I'll ever get away from the game that much, but maybe I'll be able to spend a little more time at home and a little more time relaxing.
Well, here's the bottom line. You're going to coach until you're no longer on the earth. You may not be looking at the scoreboard and seeing the time tick away and things like that, because the relationships you develop in this game,
yes,
they literally last forever.
No doubt about that. People, I always tell parents, you think it's a four-year decision that you're making, but it's really a 40- and 50-year decision. You know, some of my fondest memories is when they call you on Christmas and want to wish you Merry Christmas. They call you on Father's Day, your birthday. They want you to meet their fiancés. They want you to be there for those special occasions. They want you to meet their kids. And in my last game, Solomon Oliver brought his whole family from Seattle.
Wow.
Sam Bowie came back from Kentucky, him and Dirk Minifield. I had a group, about nine of the players that I played with at the University of Tennessee at Martin, and I was the first black player there, and that was 1968 when I went there, and I had a whole team of guys standing there on the baseline with me enjoying my last game. That just shows a little bit about the relationships and how meaningful they are when you go through college sports like basketball.
And what is it like for some people, right, that worked under you, you know, and you kind of been able to mentor and now see them go on and have success in the college basketball world?
Well, it's so gratifying when you see Dennis Gates and you see Andy Enfield, and Bill Self, guys who I hired when they were really young. And to see how well they've done in the business and how successful they are mentoring kids and winning games and having successful careers, it really warms your heart when you see that.
Leonard Hamilton here with us. So I would refer to you as a basketball lifer. and we've seen a lot of legendary coaches the last few years kind of hang them up, whether it's Coach K, Roy Williams. I thought it was a little early for Jay Wright, but, you know, the NIL and the transfer portal and all that stuff plays a factor into it. We just saw what happened with Tony Bennett as well. What has the last few years been like in this new era and this new wave, just adjusting to what it has become NIL and the transfer portal?
Well, no, there's no doubt that it's different. I've always tried to be careful not to voice my opinion, because that's a little controversial, and some people they misuse your words and misinterpret what you mean, and it comes across like I'm not interested in kids getting compensated.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I have more questions than I have answers. I would like to know who, now that we came up with these rules and regulations to govern this new era we in, what were the plans that we supposed to, of how we supposed to deal with this? I mean, I'm sure that the framers of the situation had experts, psychologists, to understand the effect that this scenario would have on kids. I'm sure they had statistical analysis to be able to predict what would be going on as a result of these changes. Why we didn't need more rules and guidelines to govern how to manage ourselves doing this and not just in the present state we are now. For instance, in our society, we have an organized society. We have rules and regulations that govern how we live.
Oh, there's no rules in this system, I'll tell you
and,
that.
In other words, you can't work for your radio station today in the crosstown rivalry tomorrow.
Oh, no.
You can't work for, you can't play for the Lakers on Monday and the Clippers on Tuesday. Yeah. You can't be the president of NYU and then the next day be the president of Columbia. But in college sports, you know, you can go to school, take your NIL money, find out that the kid that you didn't know was better than you, redshirt and transfer in January and be somewhere else, receiving someone else's NIL. In other words, the way this thing is set up now in the portal, that it's then you have so many kids making decisions, emotional decisions. For instance, if I'm on a diet, it doesn't do me any good if you got a chocolate cake in front of me every day.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Speak.
Now, look at this. If 3,000 basketball players put their name in the portal, mm-hmm. the statistics, I believe, are somewhere close to 40%. That 40% of them will not even get an offer. Okay. Of that 40%, which is probably if it's 3,000, probably be like 1.2, be a million two kids. I mean, 1,002 kids that didn't get that didn't pick up a scholarship. Multiply that time five, that's about 6,000 kids, of which 85% of them are black. So you're gonna have that number of kids without a scholarship, without an education, and then you fast forward 10 years from now. Then what are those guys doing with their lives? Because they went after the pie in the sky. Realistically, there has to be some type of organization that don't put guys in those situations to put themselves in a negative situation. And a few years ago, we didn't even let people play in the NCAA tournament who didn't graduate their players. Now, you haven't heard anybody say anything about graduating lately.
Because it's all about money. That's what it is. And this is what I struggle with. So I'm for transfer portal. I'm for name, image, and likeness. But there's no rules really in it. And it is the wild, wild west. And I kind of look at it as you're going to have kids that are going to make decisions, right? Like any kid that goes to college. And that decision could be a decision based off money. It could be a decision based off playing time. Or maybe just the school isn't a fit. I don't know if kids are making the right decision when they move anymore, and okay. That's the part where I think they get burned.
Okay, see, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with facts.
Okay.
The facts say that close to 40% of those kids would not get scholarships. See, that way it takes me out of me disagreeing with you on my opinion,
yeah.
Vice versa. See, and I think what happens is we all have opinions, but we got to back them up. In fact, the fact is that academically, it's compromising our principles. Now, I was at Miami for 10 years. I had three kids not graduate. I'm at Florida State for 23 years. I had five kids. So in 33 years, I've only had five kids not graduate who stayed with me for 4 years. So getting your education means a lot to me. I think that's what our job is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's like raising your kids, and you open the refrigerator, they see Snickers and Almond Joys and candies and cakes and ice cream, and you tell them don't open the refrigerator. And we putting these things in front of these
guys to tempt them.
For them to be tempted to make these decisions. And I'm just confused,
sure.
As to how are we supposed to navigate through this when statistically, forget my opinion, the statistics say there's something flawed. But we won't have that discussion.
So let me ask you this. If you could make one change to the system, Leonard Hamilton, what would that change be? What would you, they say you could do one thing to this system that we have going on right now, what would be the first thing that you say?
The first thing I would do is bring everybody to the table, the guys who are in the trenches, so we can have a discussion with people who live it, walk it, and feel it. I don't know who has been a part of these decisions, but I would be curious to find out how many coaches, how many psychologists was in the room? What statistical analysis did they do on making these decisions? I mean, how did we come to this conclusion? I mean, who advised them and who were in the room? Were they guys who work in this era every day, or somebody who you put on the committee who showed up and went into a room and thought things through, and they balanced some things around and came up with, I don't know how these decisions were made. So that means you need, I'd like to be a, like to come up with a more transparent way of how we make these decisions. Because when you look back at the history of college sports, there's always been rules put in. And then after 3 or 4 years, sometimes they change them back.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying to you,
need some consistency.
We have some history with that. Mm-hmm. So I think the decision-making process needs a little more work.
Last thing I'll ask you, Leonard Hamilton, longtime coach at Florida State, now off into this next chapter where we know he's really not going to be leaving the game. When you look at the games coming up on Saturday, what stands out to you when you look at Auburn and Florida and then Duke and Houston?
What I've known, what I've seen with these guys, the kids play with a lot of passion. They're well coached. And they're playing the games the right way. Like Duke plays defense, and they share the ball. So does Auburn. You know, it's not one man gets the ball and ISO, take 9 dribbles, and make a tough shot. These teams are really playing good basketball. And I think it's going to be fun to watch because they're going to play hard. They play with passion. They move the ball. They make the extra pass. They create for each other. And I'm looking forward to it because as I watch the game as a coach, you know, you're analyzing and these guys play basketball the way it's supposed to be played. Mr. Naismith will be very proud. Watch this Final Four.
You could be the commissioner of college basketball, for being honest. That could be the next chapter for you. You'd be good. Be a good authoritative voice in all this stuff with all these manners.
Well, I got a lot of things I'm thinking about. You know, I want to do some ministry. I think I want to do some educational pieces. I want to do maybe some affordable housing. You know, I want to do something to give back.
Sure.
Because I had so many people help me along the way. And I wouldn't be where I am without somebody doing something to help me, so I'm all in.